The text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this gospel meeting this evening is verse number 21 of Job chapter 22. I read that verse with you again. It says, "Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee." Now in this life, you and I, yes, we make friends with many different kinds of people. At school, at college, at work, in business, in the community where we live at large, we make contact with all kinds of people from various backgrounds and walks of life on a day-to-day basis. Maybe there's one here in the meeting tonight, and you can say, yes, in the past I have met with someone famous, maybe a sports personality, maybe a politician, maybe a royal member of the royal family, or even the Queen herself. Earlier on today, I was speaking with someone, and they were talking about the time some years ago when they met with the Queen here in Fermanagh and Ballinamothered and one of her Jubilee visits a number of years ago. And it was something that they've never forgotten, something that they remember and talk about even till today. Yes, it is good to make acquaintances. It is good to be friendly to others. The Bible says a man that have friends must show himself friendly. And that's very important, especially to the believer, to the Christian. To you and I who are saved, as we would seek to witness to other people, it's important, yes, that we be friendly and hospitable to others. And how important it is, even in God's work and in our services here, even when visitors come into the meetings, that we welcome them, that we make them feel at home, and that we encourage them by saying hello to them and making friends with them and acquaintance with them the best we can. That's so vital and so important in the church life and in the work of God that we may be involved in. Well, people, tonight in this meeting, can I say the most important person that you and I can meet with in this life and be acquainted with in this life is none other than the Lord Himself. And you and I read of this vital friendship, this vital acquaintance, in the words of our text this evening, verse 21 of Job chapter 22, where it says, "Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee." As we've already mentioned, these words were spoken by a man by the name of Eliphaz to Job. And in this chapter, this man Eliphaz, he wrongly accuses Job of sin. Eliphaz wrongly assumed and wrongly supposed that Job's present trials were due to his sin. And can I say that supposition was wrong? Because Job himself was a godly man, a righteous man, a man who loved the Lord, who walked with God, who feared the Lord. If you turn back to the opening chapter of this book, you will see that for yourself. Turn back to Job chapter 1 and the verse number 1 and see there how Job is described by God in His Word. Job 1 verse 1, it says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect." In other words, he was a godly man and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. That means turned away from evil and sin. That was his testimony. Turn again over to the next chapter, chapter 2, and the verse number 3. And here you have a further insight into his character. Here you have the Lord speaking of Job to Satan. It says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity." That was the testimony of this man Job, a man of integrity, a godly man, a man who stood out from the crowd and the people by and large in his day, who stood out for God. Man who left his mark for God in this world and this scene of time. Yes, he had many troubles. He had many trials.
And the reason why God allowed troubles in Job's life, it was not to punish him for his sin. No, because he was a saved man, a godly man, a righteous man. But rather these troubles and trials, they were allowed by God to test Job's faith, to try Job's faith, and to draw him as a believer, as a Christian, closer to the Lord. You see how Job recognizes that himself in Job chapter 23. And the verse number 10, the chapter following our Bible reading there tonight. And look at what he says here about the Lord. He says, "But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." In other words, as gold purified in the fire, his faith was purified and strengthened through his trials and through his testings. However, this man Eliphaz that is speaking here in chapter 22, he fails to see this. And he wrongly accuses Job of sin. Go back to verse 5 of chapter 22. Notice what he says here to Job. He says, "Is not thy wickedness great and thine iniquities infinite?" And following that false accusation against Job, he then exhorts Job to repent of his sin and to get right with God. And this he does in our text this evening, verse 21 of Job 22, when he says, "Acquaint now thyself with him," he's speaking about the Lord, "and be at peace, and thereby good shall come unto thee." Now, people, we can say, yes, this verse was wrongly applied to Job by Eliphaz at this juncture in his life. It was wrongly applied, yes, to this man Job. However, we can say tonight in this gospel meeting that these words, yes, can be rightly applied to every sinner, to every person who was unsaved. Yes, these words are wise counsel for all who do not know the Lord Jesus as Savior, for all who are yet in their sins, and for all who are yet unconverted and unsaved. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl in the meeting tonight, can I say to you from this pulpit that the wisest thing that you could ever do in this life, in this scene of time, is for you to heed this verse and to heed the words of this verse and be acquainted with the Lord. As the verse says, "Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto thee." No matter who you are in this meeting tonight, no matter what your background is, the wisest course of action that you can take in life is to be acquainted with God. And for that reason then that I want us to look at this verse and to consider just this all-important matter of acquaintance with God. First of all, note with me here the meaning of acquaintance with God. Our text says, "Acquaint now thyself with him." In other words, acquaint now thyself with God. And this really means for man to be reconciled with God, to be at peace with God, to be like Abraham and to become the very friend of God. And these words, yes, mean a person knowing God personally as their loving, eternal, heavenly Father. And in the Bible, we read of many who had this acquaintance. We think tonight of David, the psalmist of Israel. He had this wonderful experience in this life of being acquainted with God, for he could say in Psalm 23, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You think of Enoch in the book of Genesis, away back at the beginning of time. He too had this wonderful acquaintance with God. For the Bible says, Enoch walked with God. He knew God. God was his friend, his acquaintance. Again, it was the same of Noah, who built the ark before the flood and the deluge. The Bible says this, "And Noah walked with God." He knew God. God was real to Noah. He was acquainted with God. And friend, can I say to be acquainted with God like David, like Enoch, like Noah, or as it says in our verse this evening, is the greatest relationship that you can have in this earth and in this scene of time. to know God, to be acquainted with God. There's nothing more important in your life, dear friend, than to know God and to be acquainted with Him. And all through the Bible, from Genesis through to Revelation, you'll find time after time God calling you as an individual to be acquainted with Himself. You have it here in this text. Job 22, verse 21. Acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace. Friend, this is God's call to you tonight in this gospel meeting, to be acquainted with God. This is God speaking. This is not man's word. This is God's word. You think again of what the Lord says in the book of Isaiah. He says there in His word, in Isaiah 55, verse 6, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is here. Again, the call is there to be acquainted with the Lord, to seek the Lord. If you seek after someone, you get to know them, you become friendly with them, you are acquainted with them. And again, you have that same call over in the New Testament. Think of Paul's words to the church at Corinth when he said to them, be ye reconciled to God. And there again, God called you to be acquainted with Him. He called you to be acquainted with Him, to be at peace with Him, to be His friend. Imagine that, the God of heaven calling you and I to be His friends, to know Him, yes, as your gracious, loving, heavenly Father. Oh, if you are still not saved in the meeting tonight, this is your greatest need tonight. You may have many other pressing needs, but above and beyond every other need, this is your vital need, your most important need, that you are acquainted with God. That you know God. That you know Him as your heavenly Father. And this call here to be acquainted with God, it teaches us that by nature, that you and I, yes, we are separated from God. That is how it is with us all. Why? Because we are born into this world, every single one of us, estranged, the Bible says, from God. No matter what home we come from, no matter what church we belong to, we are born into this world estranged from God. The Bible says we are afar off from God. And the reason for this alienation from God is all due to one thing, sin. It's due to our sin by nature and by practice, something we all are guilty of, something we all are, sinners by nature and practice before God, because you and I have inherited a sinful nature from our first parents, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says, wherefore as by one man, that is Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And because of that sinful nature, we all have broken God's law, God's commandments. Every single one of us in this meeting, the preacher included, we are all guilty. That's the verdict, guilty of breaking God's law, God's commandments. The Bible says sin is the transgression of the law. We have broken the law of God. We have failed to keep God's law. And our sin is something that grieves God, that is displeasing to God. And remember what God said what this world was like in its sin before the flood. We're told that it grieved God because of the sin of mankind. The Bible says, thou art of pure eyes and to behold evil and canst not look on iniquity. Sin is grieving to God. And because of our sin by nature and practice, we're born into this world really at war with God. The Bible says the carnal mind is enmity against God. There's an awful war going on at present out in Ukraine between Russia and the people of Ukraine. It's an awful thing. But you know, when you think about that, it reminds us of the awful war there is in the heart of man because of a sin between him and God. And the Bible says the carnal mind, our natural mind, our natural heart, is enmity against God. And because of our sin, we and all mankind, we are condemned already to eternal punishment and hell for our sins. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. an unsafe friend in our meeting tonight, this is why you need to be acquainted with God, because of your sin. Your sin by nature, your sin by practice, because of the awful effects of sin in your life. Because of sin, yes, you and I must say with the hymn writer, I once was a stranger to grace and to God. That's how it is with us by nature, strangers to grace, strangers to God. And if you're not saved tonight, you are afar off from God. Understand that, see that. You are separated from God, estranged from God. You think of how the Irish Sea divides the island of Ireland from the mainland of Britain. There's a division there. And likewise, friend, your sins divide you from God. Your sins are a barrier between you and God. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. And look with me there at verse number 2. And look at what the Word of God says about this. Isaiah 59 verse 2, it says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. That's what sin does. Separates man from God. Doesn't matter how religious a man appears in his outward life. Sin separates him from God. Shuts him off from God. It's a barrier between him and God. And friend, because of your sin, you're separated from God. You're condemned already to a lost eternity in hell itself. There's judgment for sin. There's a penalty for sin. Listen to the words of the psalmist in Psalm 11, verse 6. He says, upon the wicked, that's the unsaved, the unconverted, he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and in horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Dear friend in the meeting tonight, let me say this, that if you are to be saved from your sin, saved from the awful plight and disease of your sin, then you need to heed our text tonight. You need to heed the call of God in our text tonight and be acquainted with God. The meaning, yes, of acquaintance with God. Notice secondly tonight, the way to acquaintance with God. How can you and I be acquainted with God? Well, look at what our verse says. It says, acquaint now thyself with him. And notice the next words, and be at peace. Notice those words are be at peace. In the original language of the Old Testament, those words are a command. And my, if man is to be acquainted with God, he must be at peace with God. That's the thought there. And there is only one way that you and I can be at peace with God, and that way is true faith alone in the person and in the sacrifice of God's eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way to obtain peace with God apart from Christ and through faith in Christ. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way to have peace with God but through Christ, through faith in him, and faith in his atoning death and sacrifice for sinners upon the cross for salvation. And that's the message of the gospel. It's the message of the Bible. You remember Peter, whenever he was preaching in the house of Cornelius. Cornelius was a very righteous, upright man, a good man, a moral man, a man highly respected in many, many ways, even though he was a Roman centurion, he was well thought of by society. We could say, yes, he had a good character, but what was the message of Peter as he preached in the house of Cornelius? It was this. The Bible says Peter was preaching peace by Jesus Christ. And Peter that day in the house of Cornelius, he told Cornelius and others who were gathered there that day that they could only have peace with God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, yes, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Friend in the meeting tonight, let me say this, that if you are to be at peace with God, if you are to be acquainted with him, then you must trust the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You must put your faith and trust in the atoning blood and the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon Calvary's cross to forgive your sins and to save you from the wrath to come. There is no other way but through faith in Christ. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You remember the words of William Cowper, the great hymn writer. He said, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." Friend, the stain of your sin can only be blotted out by the precious blood of Christ. No other way apart from the blood of Christ. That's the only fountain. That's the only remedy for your sin. The precious blood of the Lamb of God shed freely for sinners like you and I upon the cross of Calvary. Yes, the Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And what does that word propitiation mean? It really means to have God's wrath stopped. To have God's wrath, as it were, against us appeased. And the wrath of God, friend, upon you for your sin can only be stayed, it can only be appeased and stopped by you putting your faith in Christ and you embracing Christ by faith and His sacrifice as the sacrifice for your sins upon the cross of Calvary. You remember the Old Testament book of Leviticus, you read of those, there was the scapegoat, and them putting their hand, as it were, on the scapegoat. It's really a picture of the sinner laying hold upon Christ with a hand of faith and embracing Christ by faith as their own and personal Savior. And that's what you must do to be saved, to be reconciled with God, to be at peace with God, to be acquainted with God. You must embrace Christ as your Savior, realizing that He died for your sins upon the cross, that He shed His blood to make a remedy for you to be saved from your sins, to be saved from hell and right with God. You think of the publican that we read about in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. How was he acquainted with God? How was he brought into a position of peace with God? It was true faith. Faith in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He cried out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And that plea really means, "God, save me from my sin on account of the sacrifice of your Son. My, on account of his reliance upon Christ, his trust in Christ." Jesus says, "I tell you, this man, he went down to his house justified." And man, woman, young person, boy or girl in the meeting tonight, nonsense. This is what you must do. You must do the same. If you are to be acquainted with God, if you are to be at peace with God, you must heed the message of the gospel and the counsel of the Word of God to put your trust, your faith in Christ as your Savior. You look at what is said there in verse 22, following our text tonight. It says, "Receive, I pray thee, the law from His mouth, and lay up His words in thine heart." That means receive God's word. Listen to God's word. Believe God's word. And friend, you must believe and heed the word of God, the message of the gospel. There's many out in the world tonight, and they say, "Yes, I pray. I read my Bible. I'm religious." But they've no time for the gospel. "Oh, the gospel is for somebody else. It's not for me. I'm getting to heaven my way and through my works, through my righteousness. And I'm not going to bow the knee and put my faith and trust in Christ." And that's the thinking of many multitudes here in Enniskillen tonight. Friend, God forbid that that should be your thinking tonight in this gospel meeting. Look again at verse number 23 of the chapter. Notice what it says there. It says there in verse number 3, "If thou return," notice it, "return to the Almighty." That speaks of repentance. You must repent of your sin. Turn from your sin. Forsake your sin. Have a change of mind, a change of heart regarding your sin and every false way of salvation. And in repenting of your sin, you must confess it to God. And you must trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone for your salvation. Oh, friend, tonight heed the word of God. As it says there in verse number 23, return to the Almighty. Return to God. You think of the prodigal son. He left the father's house. He went away into the far country. It's a picture of the sinner. Away from God. And things only were right for that young man when he returned and he forsook his sin. And he confessed his sin to God. Indeed, his wrongdoings even to his father. And friend, to be at peace with God, to be acquainted with God, you must return to the Almighty. You must heed the message of the gospel. Put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to save you from your sins. Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. There's no other way for you to know God and to be acquainted with God apart from Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Friend, it is by faith in Christ alone, a Savior, that you, a sinner, can know God, be reconciled with God, and be at peace with God. Notice one final thought here from our text tonight. Notice the blessing of acquaintance with God. You look at the final words there for our text, Job 22, verse 21, it says, thereby good, notice it, thereby good shall come unto you. In other words, every soul is blessed who is acquainted with God through faith in Christ. The psalmist says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. And the Bible says, godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. My, whenever you are acquainted with God through faith in Christ, you are doubly blessed. You're blessed in time, and you are blessed in eternity. Turn with me over to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and the verse number 43. Acts chapter 10 and the verse number 43. And look at this great gospel verse. It speaks of what we have through faith in Christ. And it says in Acts chapter 10, verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, that speaks of the person and the sacrifice of Christ through his name, whosoever believeth in him, notice it, shall receive remission of sins. That's forgiveness of sins. That's the good that will come to you when you're acquainted with God through Christ. All your sins will be forgiven, blotted out. So we saw the other night in the prayer meeting, cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness, and when your sins are forgiven, you're saved from hell. Saved from the pit, the wrath to come, the lake of fire delivered, and you are sure of heaven. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a place heaven is. Heaven, there's no sin. There's no sickness. There's no faults, no feelings, no tears, no night, no death. It's a place of eternal fellowship and worship of Christ and of God. The hymn writer says, to be there, oh, what must it be to be there? How can you be sure of heaven? How can you be sure of having your sins forgiven, friend? Be acquainted with God through Christ. Trust Christ as your Savior. And as well as eternal life and pardon for sin in this scene of time, God will bless you with His grace, enabling you to live for God, to live the Christian life. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And when you are acquainted with God through faith in Christ, God will bless you with His grace. Grace that changes your life. Grace that transforms your life. Grace that strengthens you in the trials and the battles of life. And grace that can break the chains and the fetters of sin. The Bible says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed.
And if you look just at the chapter before us, you'll see there how some of those tremendous blessings of the Christian life are highlighted. Look at verse 23 there of Job chapter 23. Notice what it says there. It says, "Thou shalt be built up if thou return to the Almighty." In other words, when you're trusting in Christ and acquainted with God through faith in Christ, you'll be built up, you'll be strengthened in your faith and in the things of God. Now look at verse 24, it says, "Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks." Verse 25, the end of it says, "And thou shalt have plenty of silver." And that really speaks of God meeting our needs. God does not meet the needs of our greed, so to speak. No, but He supplies our needs day by day as His people when we know Him and trust Him. Look at verse 25, there it says, "Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense." In other words, God will protect you in your going out and your coming in. It was Martin Luther who could say he was immortal on earth until his work was done. Look at verse number 26 of the chapter there. It says, "Thou shalt have thy delight in the Almighty." That speaks of the joy of the Lord, the Lord's abiding presence with you, being your portion in life. The course says, if you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. The joys of the world are fleeting. They're temporal. They're here today. They're gone tomorrow. But the Lord gives His people a joy that abides through all the testing times and trials of life. Notice also here the great blessing of prayer. Now look at the end there, verse 26 and verse 27. It says, "Thou shalt lift up thy face unto God." That speaks of fellowship with God. "Thou shalt make thy prayer unto Him, and He shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows." What a privilege it is to pray, to seek God, to call upon His name. Is it any wonder the hymn writer said, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." Why did the hymn writer say that? Because they knew God. They were acquainted with God through Christ. Look at also the promise there of the Lord's guidance and the affairs of life. Look at verse number 28. It says, "Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. And the light," notice it, "shall shine upon thine ways." God's light leading the way onward, heavenward, and the believer's journey through this world, through this scene of time. You've one to guide you, one to direct you. And then when you're acquainted with God through faith in Christ, the Lord will bless you, and He'll help you, and He'll make you a blessing to others and the burdens of life. Look at verse number 29 of the chapter. It says, "When men are cast down, then thou shalt say there is a lifting up." The believer is indeed the light of the world and the salt of the earth. You think of Joseph tonight that you read about in the book of Genesis. Joseph was acquainted with God. He knew God. He trusted Christ as his Savior. And even as a young man, as a captive down in Egypt, he was blessed. And he was made a blessing. Why? Because he knew God. The Bible says this about Joseph. It says, "And God was with him wherever he went, because he trusted the Lord." And God blessed him, made him a great blessing. But friend, when you're acquainted with God through faith in Christ, God will bless you. He will bless you in time. There's no doubt about that. He will bless you for all of the countless ages of eternity to come. There's no doubt about that. Friend, to know that blessing, you must come as a sinner unto Christ and trust Christ as your Savior. The Bible says that none of us liveth unto himself. I must warn you tonight, if you go on in your sin, you'll bring trouble, yes, upon yourself and put all that concerns you. The Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. However, if you are to be a blessing to others, if you are to know God's blessing in your life for time and for eternity, if you are to enter into the eternal bliss of heaven, then now in time, you must be saved. You must be acquainted with God through Christ. Friend, you must heed the message of this verse tonight. When it says, acquaint now thyself of him and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto thee. If you're not saved tonight, come just as you are, as a guilty, poor, and needy sinner to Christ. Thank him for dying for you upon the cross. Thank him for shedding his blood for you. Ask him into your heart and life to be your Savior, to take away your sins. He will not turn you, he'll not cast you away, but he will save you, he will bless you, he will keep you, even unto life eternal. We're going to close our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 293. 293, I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light. There's the way of the cross I miss. 293, we'll stand as we sing, and singing it with all of our hearts and thinking of the words as we sing them. Going to close our meeting tonight with a word of prayer. But if there's one here in the meeting tonight, you're not saved, there's a concern in your heart, and you want to be saved even tonight, come now to Christ, call upon him by faith. If I can be of any help to you after the meeting, I'd be no hurry away. I'll be glad to spend time with you around the Word of God and show you from the Word of God how you can be saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us here tonight. We thank thee for thy word. Lord, write thy word upon our hearts, upon our minds, upon the deepest recess of every heart in this meeting. We thank thee for all tonight that are acquainted with God through Christ, who can say tonight it is well with their soul. But Lord, for any in the meeting tonight, young or old, and they have not that assurance, they're still afar off from God. Lord, awaken them, bring them in faith, bring them in repentance, Lord, we pray. Even now, tonight, even in the final moments of this meeting, may they yield to Christ and trust him as their personal Savior. Take us to our homes in safety. speak on while man's voice is silent. Bless us in this week that lies before us. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all this night and always. Amen.